Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and I have a very fun guest today, and I think you guys are really going to get a kick out of this. This is Vicki Ronchette, and she, you guys will remember her from episodes that she did on her books, Shy to Showy, and some of these other training tools that she's done. Well, she has put together a brand new product, and it is called Show Dog Prep School. And Vicki, welcome. I'm very excited for you to share about this exciting new opportunity for our listeners.
I am very excited to be here. I'm super excited to talk about Show Dog Prep School.
Excellent. So, okay, starters, what made you decide that this is something you wanted to do?
Well, I think the big thing is that I've had a Facebook group called Positive Training for Show Dogs for years now, and there's quite a few members on there, and we get people from all over the world. So I've had people contact me from Ireland and Egypt and just all over the place, and they don't have a resource for learning how to show their dogs, learning how to handle any of that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They may have a ring handling class in their area. Most of them don't. But if they do, it's usually not training. It's more of like a practice run through sort of class.
Right.
So they're not really getting the information that they need. Those classes can be really beneficial for people who sort of already know what to do, and they just want to practice with their dogs. But, you know, a lot of people don't have a resource. So that was a big thing, was just getting the information out there. And then also, a lot of the classes, like I said, are run through, or they're not really run by trainers. So there's not a lot of instruction on how to actually train the behaviors for the show ring, or to problem solve things for the show ring. And we're doing it using positive reinforcement.
Right. And I know that that's a big push for you. So help people understand how that is going to work for them with their show dog. Give us kind of the quick run through, and then they can go back and listen to your previous podcast.
Well, it's really important that show dogs, in my opinion, love what they're doing. I think if you have a dog who sort of just is doing it and maybe doesn't love it, you can finish their championship, but they're not going to be as dynamic a show dog, and certainly not a super competitive special unless they're really into it. So how we train those behaviors matters. However the animal is feeling that emotional state while they're learning the behavior lives with that behavior forever.
Right.
So it's important to me that we train using methods that create enthusiasm and, you know, bring out showmanship and make a dog feel and look confident. I think that those are all really important. And I think it's important in all animal training, but I think it's really important when you want a dog to go out there and perform and look like he's having a great time and he owns the ring and all that kind of stuff. So I'm really pushing for really thinking about what I want the animal to do and then training that behavior, being really clear about training it to
Excellent.
Look how I want it to look.
Absolutely. So you have how many classes in this first edition of Show Dog Prep School?
I think we ended up with 16 classes.
Nice.
16 courses this first chunk. There's several other trainers too. So we have a nice little initial launch, and then we'll have more coming out just in the coming months.
Excellent. And full disclosure, Pure Dog Talk folks, I am one of the course instructors. We have the canine anatomy and applying your breed standard course. And Vicki, you've got some really amazing instructors just kind of across the board that are working on this project.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the instructors that we have. I'm teaching several courses. I have Andrea Stone, who owns UCLA Dogs in Seattle, which is a dog training behavior consulting and daycare business. And she's doing taking the challenge out of challenging breeds. She has Basenjis. And she's also doing trouble-free nail trims, so how to train for nail trims. I also have Cherie Eckholm, who's doing Kellington T-Touch for show dogs, which is a practice that I've done on my own dogs for a long time. I think it can be really beneficial, and just teaching people about touch and how to communicate via touch and all that kind of stuff. She's also doing safe traveling with your dog. So whether you're an RV or a hotel, however you travel, it covers all that. And then we have some really exciting instructors signing up for next time. Jenna Bullis is coming on. She has Portuguese water dogs, and she's going to do a course on training dogs to accept grooming. We have Michelle Puglio, who's an amazing trainer, who's going to be doing one on puppies. And also Kristen, and she's a registered vet tech and does rehab, and she's going to be doing our conditioning course.
Nice.
So that's just who I know of for sure. And then, of course, you'll be doing the breeding series, which I'm really excited about. And your structure course is amazing. Everybody who's showing dogs should take that course. I think it's amazing. And I just am really excited about everything.
Yeah, I think you're doing a really great thing here, because a lot of people, you can read books, you can talk to people, but sometimes you just need a little extra. And I think that's what I like about this system that you've set up, is that you can get one-on-one coaching from your instructor. You can work through at your own pace. So talk a little bit about that, about how the structure of the whole thing works.
So the courses, it's a really nice learning platform. And basically, the courses are set up into courses and then divided up between lessons and then topics. So people can just, as they move through the course, their progress is sort of ticked off, and so they can always know right where they left off. They're welcome to breeze through it. They're welcome to take their time. They can do the course by itself, or they can pay a little bit more money and do the course with coaching, which gives them access to a forum where they can actually upload videos and pictures and ask questions and get feedback from the instructors, which can be really helpful for a lot of things. We have courses that go from Flash, which is about $39. It has less video. It's a smaller course. And those are sort of for just like quick topic things. Those ones are generally not offered with coaching, but we also then have mini courses, full courses, and maxi courses, and all those can be purchased with instructor coaching as long as the instructor is offering it. And there may be times when the instructor isn't offering it because maybe they're going on vacation or, you know, whatever. But generally, they'll have those options. And I think that we looked at a few different platforms to do it, and I just thought this was easy to navigate. It's very user-friendly. It's not really confusing, and then everything is right there. So if you're on a lesson or you're on a topic, you click on that topic, your photos are right there, the videos, if there's any videos to watch, are right there. So it's really come together nicely. And I think the quality of our videos are really good. Sarah Johnson is doing all the website design and video editing, and she's just been amazing.
Absolutely. And I think, too, this is something that people are going to be comfortable with, right? Like, this is a system that maybe 15 years ago or 20 years ago, people have been like, what? But now I think online courses, college courses, you know, and that's, you actually are providing people with a certificate of accomplishment, correct?
We haven't done that yet, but I think that we're going to try and introduce certificates of completion anyways for completing a course. And then most of the courses don't have prerequisites, but some of them will, for instance, like my From Shy to Showy, I'm developing a part two. And so, you know, you'll need to have done part one because it's sort of the next steps.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some like that where you might need to do one to do another. But for the most part, yeah, people can sort of just pick and choose what they want. We do offer some bundles, and then we'll be doing more of those as we add courses. But a bundle is like a package where there's several also offered with coaching or without. So there's just a lot of options, and it's really designed for people to be able to learn in a way that's most comfortable for them. Because even people who go to a group class, you know, having taught basic training classes for many, many years, you know, a lot of people would not ask questions and then they would go home and email me. You know, so there's just that thing of the social pressure for some people of being publicly asking questions or working, and where doing it this way, I think, is a lot more comfortable for some people.
Well, and I think in our society today, you know, that's one of the things. People just don't have a lot of time.
Exactly.
And doing it on your own schedule, right? Like, oh, I can't do Tuesdays at 10 a.m., but I could do Fridays at 10 p.m., you know, whatever it is.
Exactly. Exactly. And also being able to literally have your dog right there and your computer right there
mm-hmm.
and watch a video with the dog in front of you and be like, okay, now I'm ready to do this because I need to see it again.
Right.
You know, and frequently in my private lessons, I'll do that with people. I'll be coaching them and I'll say, do you want me to take a video so you can refer back to it? Because
right.
I think it's so helpful for people. You know, they're
right.
trying to learn this stuff and then also remember and process the information. And it's just another really good way to get to people who learn best that way. And also people, again, who don't have access other places to this information.
Right. And I think that applies here in the U.S. and literally, as you said, around the world. I was cruising through Pure Dog Talk stats not too long ago, and I'm like, Macedonia? I don't
know. Yeah. Right?
That someone was listening in Macedonia, was downloaded in Macedonia. I'm like, who listens in Macedonia? Shout out, Macedonia.
Yeah, it's amazing where people are in all different parts of the world looking for this information.
Right.
You know, and needing this information. And that literally is the only way they get access to it.
Mm-hmm.
And your interviews on the podcast, that literally is the only place that I've ever seen where you are talking to like these breeders and stuff like that, and people are getting access to that.
Right.
That's why it's so addicting, I think.
I think it is slightly addictive, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
This
yeah,
is a good addiction. You're allowed to be addicted to Pure Dog Talk. It's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So talk a little bit, walk us through, say out here, listener A would like to take my course on structure and your course on training your dog to move.
Okay.
How do they do that?
So basically, they would go to the website. It's showdogprepschool.com. And then they go to the course catalog and they can look through there. And then they'll find our courses there. And then they basically just choose either the course only or the course with coaching. And they pay for it. And they immediately have access to that course. It just happens right then and there. If they do the course with coaching, they get access to the forum where they can go on and introduce themselves and then talk about what questions they have or just see if the instructor's on there giving feedback to someone else. So you can also get information just from reading the forum and past questions and then also what other people are asking and that kind of thing. And so it's nice because people can put themselves out there as much as they want to, but they don't have to. And then another piece of the Show Dog Prep School is that I have a mentor program. And with the mentor program, people get a couple of my webinars, they get a free copy of my latest book, and then they get access to a Facebook group and access to my live Q&As and live streaming videos and all that kind of stuff. And that's just really nice if somebody's really needs some hand-holding. I mean, I've had people message me and say, I'm about to show and I have this question and I'm there to answer that if they need it. I've met my mentees at dog shows and done private lessons when I'm available or go to the ring and watch them if I can. So that's been really nice too, because some people are getting started and, well, we feel like, yeah, your mentor should be your breeder. Your breeder might be your mentor in the breed, but maybe you need more guidance in the training portion or just the showing piece. And a lot of people have breeders out of state or out of the country who really can't give them as much as they need in terms of that. So I think that that's beneficial too.
Absolutely. Okay, listeners, join me. We're going to take a little break here with Cheryl Kreitzer from the showdogswithaz.org website. And Cheryl's going to give us more information about ways that you can take your dog and your information and share it with the world.
And it goes way more than that, Laura. I mean, we have a directory for not only the breeders to be able to post what they breed, how they breed, what health clearances they do, but we have one for handlers. Let's go ahead and find a handler in your area who focuses on the breeds that you show. Let's find a judge. Let's look at who they are before we're going to go in the ring underneath them. But more so, we also have a club and breed rescue directory where they can post their clubs and rescue, and they can also post the events they're doing. Say you want to look at snake avoidance in your area before it hits snake season, $5 that club just posted, it's up for a year.
Nice. What a tremendous resource to the entire community. And this is worldwide, right?
It is. And the site is completely translatable and the prices are really reasonable. When we're dealing with entry fees getting upwards of $30, these ads are going to be pretty easy to accommodate. I mean, your directory ads can run $10 a month or $100 a year. Your slideshow that's across the top of our banners can be for your product, your top show dog. It's $250 for 2 weeks. But your litter announcements, your puppies, your dogs available, that's all $5 for 30 days.
Excellent. All right, listeners, go check it out. That's showdogswithaz.org. And we are back to the podcast. One of the things that I love about the Show Dog Prep School is that it's able to encourage people who are coming in without a huge lot of background. And one of the things that I think that this virtual education, like Pure Dog Talk, like Show Dog Prep School, people maybe are uncomfortable asking questions. They don't want to feel stupid. They don't want to let anyone know that they don't know this, you know? So I think that that is a really awesome opportunity and way for people to learn and sort of get up to speed as they're entering our sport, which can be a challenging one.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that for me, being in the industry, dog training, behavior consulting for a long time, and 4 years now, positive reinforcement is my main tool for training behavior. I don't just train animals that way. I mean, I train people that way. Like, I don't look for things people do wrong and punish those. I try and look for things they do right and build on that.
Right.
And so I think that the whole philosophy of Braveheart Dog Training, which is my business, and then the Positive Training for Show Dogs Facebook page, and now Show Dog Prep School, really is a community of helping and support, and not just the teaching, but also like having a community where you feel safe and you can go on and ask a question. And you're not going to be made fun of because it's simply not allowed. You know what I mean? Like, we just, it's just not how we do things.
But we have a cheering section. And so instead of having to go to the dog show by yourself, you don't know anyone, you're like, oh,
yeah.
This way you have sort of that built in, as you say, sense of community or people that are on your team. And I think, again, it's a great way to take that 20th century knowledge and apply it in a 21st century way.
Absolutely.
I think it's genius. And I continue to see conversation on social media and what have you about people shouldn't just expect to start showing dogs without any education. Like, nobody goes into brain surgery without any education. Nobody even goes into house building without an education.
Right. It's true. And even taking it a step further, to ask the dogs to do it with no education.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I think it's so important when you have everything is new for someone. So going to the dog show, they're going to have performance anxiety. There's going to be stress. This is a new thing for them. And so they're not going to be like a professional handler who goes in there and is just like, this is just like every day. So they've got that stress to deal with. And then they've got an animal there that they're trying to communicate with. So it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lot. It's more than I think we think of. You know, it's just like, oh, it's just making the dog walk around. But it's really a lot more than that. And I think the people deserve to have the education. And I think the animals deserve to have the education so that they can go in there with some confidence and then actually enjoy the sport and stay with it.
Right. You just nailed it. I was just about to go. The end result of all of this is that people have fun, right? Instead of being frustrated or confused or mad and can't understand why Fluffy didn't win, and we can help you know why and know how to do better next time.
Yeah, exactly. And offer that support and guidance. You know, maybe there's a reason why Fluffy didn't win,
right.
And we know that.
Right.
And we could be like, oh, well, now that I'm watching the video of it, I can see that, you know, it could have been that this dog, Fluffy wasn't, you know, you didn't set her up as quickly, or she was really just not stacked right. Or, you know, it could be any little thing that they just didn't know why. And
right.
I don't want people to just go away thinking constantly that they didn't win because of politics. You
right.
know, it's like,
yes.
No, it could actually be that your dog just didn't look as good.
Right.
And let's just work on that.
Right. It all goes hand in hand, right? So you understand your breed standard. You understand, okay, now I've applied this and I can look at Fluffy and say, well, you know what? Fluffy's really cute and I love Fluffy, but perhaps there are better Fluffies out there. And, or Fluffy's really beautiful, but nobody can see it because I haven't trained it how to walk on a leash. Or, you know, I mean, whatever it is.
Right.
I think that this education is so critical.
Totally. And understanding, like, one of the things in a lot of my courses, in like the handling course, a big thing is being able to understand what are the really great things about your dog.
Mm-hmm.
And then being able to be honest enough to find the really not great things about your dog, and then showcase the good things and downplay the bad things. Like, that's what handling is, right?
Yes, it is. Been doing it for 25 years.
Yeah, and that's the piece that I think people don't understand. It's like, if you really videotape it and you watch, it's pretty clear to see why Fluffy didn't win.
Right.
Always, you
right.
know,
right.
because you've got somebody who's either out handling you, and that's usually what it is, or, you know, obviously, or the better dog. But I mean, that piece of right. really knowing how to present not just dogs, but that dog.
Right. Exactly. And each dog
that
is
individual.
Different.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What you may have needed to hide on the last one, you may be wanting to show off on this one.
Exactly.
Can you see that?
Exactly. I can remember millions of years ago when Akita I was showing that had the most beautiful head and just this incredible head type, and the rear, you just could cry, right? So what do? You stand there and you aim that head at the judge. You're like, look at here. See this
right.
head? No, don't see this back here. It's kind of like the Wizard of Oz, right? Don't look behind the curtain.
Yeah, exactly. But you as a hammer, for one thing, you know that piece. You just
right.
knew that right off the bat,
right.
that the head is it on this dog.
Yep.
And then you also know how to downplay the rear in a way that's not obvious, but also doesn't flaunt it.
Exactly. I had to say, this was my mentoring this last weekend with a young man that was helping me as one of my, personally, I bred it, wire hair pointers. It's a great dog. It's a beautiful picture, right? Like, makes this gorgeous outline. Its rear is not its fortune. And he knows this and he's obsessed with it. And so he kept going back and playing with it. I'm like, okay, now you have just told the judge, look, this is the worst part of my job because I can't keep my hands off of it.
Yeah, right.
So.
Well, and hopefully I can push you to do that critiquing course.
Yes, yes.
Which I think would be amazing. You know, that's actually become an exercise we're doing in the mentor program where
yes.
I'm showing them a picture of a dog and the
yep.
breed standard and saying, what do you think?
Right.
Let's pull it apart. Let's figure out how to tune your eye to that.
Yep. And I think that's the basis behind the course that I've done. This one, the 101 course, if you will. The next step to that, the 201, if we're going to use our college course's concept, is, okay, now describe the dog in front of you using the virtues of the breed and explain how you should place them. I mean, that's,
yeah.
you know, this is something we expect of judges, but the problem is we aren't expecting it of breeders and exhibitors so that when they get to the point that they're ready to judge, they don't know how to do that. And I think that's where we're seeing some disconnect sometimes in some of our newer judges, is nobody ever taught them how to do that.
I think so, too. And Andrea Stone and I are going to be working on a course on litter evaluations, which
nice.
Is something that I am obsessed with. And I'll do it with any breed. I don't take money for it. It's like any breed people will let me put my hands on. I just feel like it's a huge learning opportunity. And just when you think about, though, all of us as individuals, as breeders, as trainers, as handlers, as whatever, you know, we all have our deal breakers where however we learned in a breed, this is just something I can't live with.
Right.
And then the things that we want to improve and all that kind of stuff. And I think that people don't know.
For me, it's about, why did I do this breeding? What did I hope to bring to this breeding? What was my main thing? Okay, am I trying to make the better front? Am I trying to make the better head? What am I trying to fix? What am I trying to improve? What am I trying to
yep.
solidify? Whatever reason that I did a breeding, if I don't select the puppy that actually accomplished that goal and instead go back to what I like better in this other thing. So for example, I think this one has a pretty head, but its front is crap and I was trying to get a better front and the better fronted one has a bucket head and I choose the pretty head, I have just set my breeding program back another 20 years.
Oh my God, that is absolutely in my outline.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
like, so that's one of the main pieces. When you're picking your puppies, an outsider's opinion is just meant to compliment the breeders and to
right.
give another set of eyes.
Right.
Like, I don't get to say what someone should keep.
Right.
But I will say that that is a big piece to me. What were you going to improve? If you were going into this breeding to improve a piece, you have to look at that piece as one of the most important things that you make your picks on. And that's hard for people.
It is hard because, you know, you're fixing something because you haven't paid attention to it before. So now all of a sudden you have to start paying attention to it.
Right. And then all of a sudden you get, you know, the dream color that you wanted or the dream
right.
head or, you know, you get this other thing. And it's like you have to look at what you went to fix.
Right.
And temperament matters in that, you know, to me, big time. So when people sometimes will throw out a dog, they'll pick one that's just slightly flashier. And it's like, but this one's temperament is going to outshine that color
right.
or,
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Right.
Whatever the style is about that one. And so
right.
all of that, we're going to hit all that, which I think is exciting.
Absolutely. I think that's pretty critical. And all of the master breeders you talk to will tell you, one of my favorite podcasts for people that haven't listened to it, this is absolutely on your must listen list. Must. Sue Hubner did two episodes for me a couple months ago. And they were, I could have stayed on the phone with her for literally days. It was amazing. And really focusing on some of those things, so.
I'll have to go back and listen to that
oh
one.
My God, if you haven't,
one.
You must. Both of them. But
Okay.
What we're talking about, the how to select your puppy and that kind of stuff she talks about is unbelievable. And that is the master breeder's input that we're able to provide is what we're bringing forward when I'm talking in Show Dog Prep School, whether I'm talking on Pure Dog Talk. We're combining all of this knowledge. It's like crowdfunding knowledge.
Well, and that's what's really exciting too, is that I can teach a course or you can teach a course and then also complement that course by encouraging people to listen to certain podcasts
right.
to help them understand. So yep. I think all of these things together are a really good way to just get people maybe where they're just stuck on understanding something and a little bit more information or just another media way to mm-hmm. get that into them, like mm-hmm. a podcast or mm-hmm. the video or the written content, something that just makes them go, oh, now I get it. And that reminds me, too, we also have webinars. And most of right. the webinars are ones that I've already done in the past, but we are going to start doing more webinars, and then instructors will be able to do webinars. So I'm putting that together right. now. We'll have that other technology, too, to be able to do more absolutely live happening right now, which I think will Excellent. Be really cool for people.
Excellent. All right. So showdogprepschool.com.
Yep.
We will obviously have a link on there. And listeners, you'll be hearing more about this, I'm sure, in the coming months. And Vicki, I wish you all the luck in the world. I think you're doing a tremendous thing for the sport. So,
thank you. I feel the same about you.
All right. Mutual Admiration Thanks, Society. Man. Peace out, man.
Yep. All right. Thanks,
all right,
Laura.
Thanks. All right, crew, we are back with Allison Foley from the Leading Edge Dog Show Academy. Welcome, Allison.
Hi, Laura. How are things today?
Awesome. Another suggestion that I did not know. So tell us about how to best brush your dog without power.
So, Laura, I have been doing a lot of dog shows in Europe, and a lot of times they'll have an entry of 20,000 dogs, like at the mm-hmm. World Dog Show, and you mm-hmm. are not allowed to use the PowerPoint, right?
That's
like, there
crazy.
Is nowhere that you are allowed to use power. And I just keep thinking, anywhere in North America, like, if, you know, you don't have instant access to right. 30, you know, you can't have 7 blow dryers and your straightening iron plugged in, everybody just, like, freaks out.
And
here we are at a 20,000 dog show, and, like, there's PowerPoints on the wall,
right.
and it says, do not use the PowerPoint, and nobody touches them, right?
Wow.
And being a poodle person, that kind yeah. of freaked me out a little bit.
You know, when we did the right? interview with Jason Lynn, I was like, what do you mean there's no power? Wait, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually, like, that's who I go to a right. lot of these dog shows with, right?
Right?
So it's all American Cockers and Standard Poodles
right.
and no power, and they just don't even think about it, right?
Okay, so talk to me about this.
So one of the things that they use with great success, especially to make those nice big full poodle ears or cocker ears, is they will use a product, you know, like a self-rinsing shampoo, just because it is a little bit drying, or even just a bit of plain water, and they will get those areas on their dog damp. And they use a Mason Pearson, like a really good bristle brush. So they tend to use Mason Pearsons or like a very good facsimile of one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they'll get the area dampened and they just like brush through it with a Mason Pearson. And they kind of brush through it like making sure that they get a lot of air through the hair, right?
Mm.
And then they'll wait 10 minutes, brush through that area again. Wait 10 minutes, brush through that area again. And by the third time, most of them tend to be dry, but dry with not static and with a lot of body in the hair. I actually now at dog shows where there is power, use that method on my poodle ears to get big, huge, voluminous poodle ears. And it works better than anything. And people are like, how do you do that? What mousse did you use? I use water and a Mason Pearson.
Wow.
And the other reason that I like it, especially this time of year, is, you know, the last thing you really want to do to a dog that's at a hot dog show is put a hot blow dryer on it.
Right.
And I find Mason Pearson can be like your secret weapon. So if you're at a dog show, the power blows and you're like worried about getting your dog dry, you think it's too hot to put a hot dryer on your dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a really good bristle brush or a Mason Pearson brush, I want you to give this method a try and just see where it works for you. Now, I do like to have my dog combed and brushed out first.
Right.
Because I am using the Mason Pearson to get, I'm not really doing the entire line brushing with it, because I'm using it in a different manner. I'm using it getting a little bit more air into the hair. Like mm-hmm. that part is important, like brushing the hair up away from the skin. So make sure your dog is thoroughly brushed and dry, brushed and combed out or layer brushed or whatever you do first. But then you want to get those legs dry on your wire hair pointing Griffon. You want to get those poodle ears humongous. You want to get the American Cocker, you know, where they maybe peed on their pants a little bit and you right. had to clean that up, or give them some really fancy ears. Try a Mason Pearson, and I think you'll be really surprised on how well it works.
And so you're using the Mason Pearson, I just heard you say, against the hair, like different than how we would necessarily think of brushing the ears.
I don't use it against the hair, but I use it kind of pulling the hair, trying to get some air in there, right? Okay. So as I'm brushing, I still brush it with the grain, like the same way I would layer brush it. Okay. But I'm trying to deliberately maybe hold the hair up in the air a second longer than I would if I was brushing it out, just so the air has a chance to get in there.
Awesome. Excellent. All right. Thank you so much, Allison. I very much appreciate it. And listeners, don't forget Pure Dog Talk 25. When you check out for one of Allison's Leading Edge Dog Show Academy courses, and also, Allison, you're starting to do some Skype consultation?
Right. So any of my students have a pain point with either handling or grooming, and it's just something that we can't solve in one of our exclusive Facebook groups, I'm happy to do a Skype consultation with them. And Skype is a wonderful thing. We can look at what you're doing and offer suggestions in, you know, real time. And my students love it. So we'd love to have you.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks so much, Allison. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Laura. Have a nice day.
The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.